The epistle appointed to be read for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 6. Brethren, all we who are baptized in Christ Jesus are baptized in his death, for we are buried together with him by baptism unto death, that as Christ is risen from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also may walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin may be destroyed, to the end that we may serve sin no longer. For he that is dead is justified from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall live also together with Christ, knowing that Christ, rising again from the dead, dieth now no more, death shall no more have dominion over him. For in that he died to sin, he died once, but in that he liveth unto God. So do you also reckon that you are dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 8. At that time, when there was a great multitude with Jesus, and they had nothing to eat, calling his disciples together, he saith to them, I have compassion on the multitude, for behold, they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I shall send them away fasting to their homes, they will faint in the way, for some of them came from afar off. And his disciples answered him, From whence can anyone fill them here with bread in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? Who said, 7. And he commanded the crowd to sit down on the ground, and taking the 7 loaves, giving thanks, he broke and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they set them before the people, and they had a few little fishes, and he blessed them and commanded them to be set before them. And they did eat and were filled, and they took up that which was left of the fragments, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. I have compassion on the multitude. Words taken from today's Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, this morning I would like to tell you about a Jesuit Irish priest who was known for his holiness of life and loved by many for his Christ-like compassion. This priest was Father John Sullivan. Father Sullivan was born in Dublin in the year 1861. His father, Sir Edward Sullivan, was a Protestant, while his mother was a Catholic. However, young John Sullivan, at the insistence of his father, was raised in the Protestant religion. In his early years, he distinguished himself as a scholar, and plans were made that he would follow in his father's footsteps and pursue a degree in civil law. But something happened that changed John Sullivan's life forever. In 1885, his father suddenly died. John was devastated, even as he began to understand that there was far more to life than academic, worldly, and financial success. He left Dublin soon after and came to London. There he completed his studies for his degree in law. In 1888, he was called to the bar, but he decided that before he would begin to practice, he would first take some time to travel extensively through Europe. And this he did for many years, and this he was able to do as his father left him no small inheritance. But after 8 years of much travel, after 8 years of much thought and prayer, He returned to London and made, as one biographer put it, his momentous decision. In December of 1896, he was received into the Catholic Church. He then returned to the family home in Dublin and there began living his Catholic faith. Besides attending daily Mass, he became a regular visitor at the hospital. And there he would keep company with various patients, especially those who had no one to visit them. He would always bring them a warm smile, a prayer, a religious book of some kind, and perhaps even a good cup of tea, as only the Irish can. But in the year 1900, John Sullivan's life changed again. For it was in that year that he was accepted into the Jesuit order. He studied philosophy at the famous Jesuit Stonyhurst College of England, where he was remembered many years later for his dedication to prayer and religious discipline. He was ordained to the priesthood on July 28, 1907. He was appointed to a small Jesuit college in County Kildare, where he also ministered to many of the faithful. During his lifetime, many people flocked to him in times of trouble and anxiety, confident in the power of his prayers. A certain biographer said of him, "Father Sullivan's reputation for holiness spread rapidly through the neighborhood. He was always available to the sick, to the poor, to anyone in need. He was always caring for others. He was a source of comfort and peace to the most troubled of heart. He brought many back to God. He was truly a man given to prayer." In fact, when the cause of his canonization was opened sometime after his death, a certain Catholic woman who personally knew him said of Father Sullivan that he was very hard on himself, but he was never hard on others. Father John Sullivan died on February 19th in the year 1933. And today, almost 90 years after his death, he is still loved and remembered among a number of Catholic Irish people. Now, today's gospel, my dear people, affords us with another striking account of just how compassionate is the heart of Christ. A vast multitude of people, numbering 4,000, had followed him into a desert place. There they listened to him speak and were content, as it were, just to be near him. But at the end of the 3 days, they had nothing to eat, as the provisions which they had brought were now gone. Our Savior, noticing this, approached his apostles and told them, "I have compassion on the multitude. For behold," he said, "they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I shall send them away fasting, they will faint in the way." But the disciples answered him in so many words, "How can we feed all these people in the wilderness?" It was then that our Savior took the 7 loaves of bread that they had and miraculously multiplied them, just as he had already done with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes only a few short months before. And what moved him to work this great miracle was nothing else but his compassion. You see, my dear friends, compassion is a sorrow. Compassion is a pity that is stirred in the heart of one by the distress or the misfortunes of others. And no one who has ever lived has had more compassion than the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Here is how Father Mateo described the compassion that our Savior had for others. Jesus, he said, had an evident tenderness and compassion for anyone in suffering, anyone who was sad. He had a compassion for the poor and the feeble. This predilection, which for 20 centuries has stirred the heart of man, we call his mercy. Jesus seemed unable to resist a sorrow, a hungry crowd, a desolate mother. Let us take the case of the woman of Canaan. Jesus proved her feigned severity, and then his heart was captivated and overcome, and the miracle was wrought. On the road to Nain, Father Mateo continues, when Christ saw the poor widow weeping, his thoughts surely must have turned to Mary, his mother, in a vision on the Via Dolorosa. And once more overcome, he drew near, he took the dead young man by the hand, restored his life, his health, and gave him back to his mother. Everything that is noble, everything that is honest, touched the heart of Christ. The multitude, Father Mateo continues, which had followed him into the desert was hungry and had nothing to eat. I have compassion, Jesus said, on the multitude, and then he multiplied the loaves. So all physical and moral misery found in Christ, every tender and compassionate. And when sufferers could not drag themselves to him, he went to meet them. The whole gospel, Father Mateo concludes, the whole gospel is indeed a stupendous monument to the immense, the infinite compassion of the God-man, who worked miracles never to free himself from his executioners or his own sufferings, but rather he worked miracles to ease the wounds of the souls of others, to wipe away their bitter tears, and to lighten the crosses which we must all bear. My dear friends, in his infinite love for men, our good Savior was and is compassionate. He can thus feel, even today, as it were, the bodily pains, the sufferings, the distress, and the sorrows of all his children as if they were his own. And in his divine compassion, he seeks to ease the wounds of our souls. He often wipes away our bitter tears. And he ever seeks to lighten the crosses which we must all bear. But we must be mindful, my dear friends, that he often does not take away our crosses. He often does not remove our sufferings and our hardships. And he does not take them away because he said we must take up. That is, we must patiently and perseveringly bear our cross and follow him. Do you see, we must follow him to Calvary so that we will be worthy to follow him to the glory of his resurrection in heaven. But in his compassion for us, he will and he does wipe away our tears, and he does lighten our crosses. Very often, we just don't realize it. How great then, and how loving should be our confidence and our trust in him and his Sacred Heart. And for almost 2,000 years now, how many saints and saintly souls, such as Father John Sullivan, have imitated the compassion of Christ. Like our divine Savior, who, as Father Mateo said, did not free himself from his own sufferings and cross, but rather in his compassion, he always sought to alleviate and lessen the sufferings and the pains of others. So Father John Sullivan, like Christ, did not think of himself. He did not think of his own convenience, but always thought of others. Father Sullivan was a truly compassionate man. He exercised a Christ-like compassion. He sought to lessen the sufferings and the distresses of others. And many were the sacrifices he made for the sake of others. And why did Father Sullivan do this? Because he loved the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And thus he loved what Jesus loves. And our Lord loves the souls of men. He loves souls. And we, my dear people, according to our state in life, we must strive to do the same. We must love others for our Lord's sake, and we must practice a Christ-like compassion if we will be like him. And this we must do in a very practical way. That is, by coming to the aid of others who are in need, perhaps, of alms, of food or clothing, or some material assistance, whether we know them or not. By generously helping others, if possible, who ask for our help in big ways or small ways. By praying for others, and by praying for the intentions of others. By visiting the sick and the suffering, by comforting and encouraging the sad and the lonely, or by just being patient, kind, and cheerful towards others in our thoughts, words, and actions. When we do these things for the love of Christ, we are practicing a Christ-like compassion. And we can have the utmost confidence that our divine Savior will be compassionate towards us. For as he himself once said, "As long as you did it to the least of my brethren, you did it to me." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.